I think the property management industry has a lot of great tools and techniques and methods, which I think are exceptionally great for real estate agents as well in the sales side of things. So we've integrated things across both fields, and it's helped our business grow.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry, sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. We bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links, and shortcuts, visit eliteagentelevate.com. Now, here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. Joining me today is the winner of the 2019 Area Award for Excellence in Customer Service, who recently partnered with the eView Group to create his own brand on the Sunshine Coast, the McGill Group. So welcome to the show, Mark McGill.
Thanks very much for having me.
It's awesome to have you, and I can see you've dressed for the occasion too. You're wearing the most magnificent Hawaiian shirt.
This is my normal Friday attire. So basically every Friday from 12:29 onwards, I have a regular standing lunch with most of my very long-term repeat clients. We've been catching up for Friday lunches for 15 years now, and I'd safely say a lot of my business comes from those Friday lunches now. So it's actually a work uniform.
Yeah, wow. So every day, 15 years, lunch on Friday. How do I get an invite?
It's pretty simple. You have to bring one bottle of wine as you buy in. Everyone shares their wines, and no one leaves till they're all finished.
That would be a very interesting Friday.
Yeah, we cover all sorts of topics. But I mean, the guys that attend these lunches, essentially they're the silent achievers of the local area. Like, a lot of these guys have got 40, 50 years history of the local area. They built the place, they know all the businesses, they know all the old stories, and they're just kind of great unsung heroes with amazing perspective and amazing stories.
Yeah, amazing. And I'm looking at your background behind you. Those bottles are real, aren't they?
They're actually empty now.
they're evidence. Evidence of good times.
Yeah. So what we do is we've had a few of the lunches here, actually. We've got a couple of wine fridges in the office, and that shelf up there, those ones remaining are pretty much our hero wines. So they're the ones with good stories behind them.
Yeah, I'd love to hear some of those. It does sound like a great fun place. And I've read somewhere, when you're not attending to your clients' needs, because we are going to talk about customer service today, that you've actually got a Weber in the office as well, where you like to cook. Do you actually make lunch too?
Yeah. We've actually got two charcoal Webers. One's got a rotisserie on it. The other one we can do like flash some hot chicken wings or something. But yeah, we are regularly on a Friday lunch. We might do like a rotisserie lamb or something like that. It's not vegan friendly, but it's all right. We have a good time still.
That's all right. You're making me hungry. If only Anastasia had opened the borders to us New South Wales people.
Yeah. I mean, I do actually schedule a lot of appointments for clients to come at lunchtime, because everyone's got to have lunch. So why not combine a bit of food and wine with business as well? So, yeah, I'm regularly cooking for my staff as well. It's just a bit of time out of the day from all the craziness that we deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we're going to get into that today. Before we dive into your real estate career anyway, I read somewhere that you were an architect for like 10 years.
Yeah, I still hold my registration as an architect. I've been a professionally registered architect for almost 20 years now.
Yeah, and how did you make the transition into real estate?
It's quite a funny one, actually. Essentially, the GFC came along and wiped out all my clients. We were working on a major development, and they went belly up, left owing us a lot of money. At the time, I was running around to all the real estate agents saying, look, what's an old house, or what's an old house that needs renovation, or a development site that needs concept done? So I was going around to agents and essentially prospecting them for business, and I was providing architectural services for them to help sell the property. What I worked out very quickly is all these Muppets were selling the property. I wasn't getting any business, and they were making a ton of money. And I thought, why don't I give this a crack? At the time, I knew Amber Worshen. She'd sold a couple of my properties, and she was kind enough to give me a go and said, yep, I'll back you. And she gave me my start, my first ever sale. I called through people that I knew. One of my friends said, yeah, look, I've got a property It's been on the market for 12 months. No one sold it. I'm happy to give you an open list. Everyone in the office is saying, don't do an open listing. But I was young and dumb and hungry. Anyway, I worked out that no one had figured out this property could fit 42 dwellings on it. In 19 phone calls to development contacts of mine, I had a buyer at the full asking price of $1.25 million, and that was my first sale to get going.
Wow, what a first sale. That's amazing.
The only problem was it was a six-month settlement.
Right. There you go. There's the lesson for you.
Yeah.
And so you worked for Amber Wershon for quite a while. Well, you've been in the industry now for, what, 10 years?
Yes, yeah, so I worked for Amber for 10 years, yes. Learned a lot along the way.
I was going to say she's known as a top performer and a bit of a gun. She's won a lot of awards herself. What do you think were some of the big lessons she taught you in the early days?
Probably just dealing with people. That was probably the biggest one. Her work ethic is second to none. Even to this day, I still don't know how she does everything she does. She's just a machine.
Yeah. So now part of your journey has been that you've joined the Evie Group. So you took the leap and launched your own brand in Queensland, the McGill Group. How did you get to know Manos and Maria?
Funnily enough, we actually met Manos and Maria almost 7 years ago in Hawaii at a conference with Lee Woodward. So I've had a good long-standing friendship with Manos and Maria for many years now. And yeah, we've always caught up at conferences and they've always been a good sounding board for advice and training over the years as well.
They've got a very extended family in the industry, don't they?
Absolutely. And like Maria is kind of like my Greek mother that I don't have.
Mine too.
Yeah, I think she's everyone's mum. So basically when I was thinking of making the move from my old agency, I mean, originally the plan was to go independent because I couldn't really find a franchise group that really appealed to me. They didn't offer me what I liked. I think the architect in me like being creative and I don't like being controlled. So that just eliminated all the franchises for me to fit into their boxes. And I knew Manos knew his numbers and his figures very well. And I literally called him for a bit of advice and a sounding board on what I needed to do, what I needed to consider, etc. And I knew that they had their brand your own agent business model from years ago, but I hadn't actually fully understood how it had evolved and what they were actually offering. And when he was telling me what EView Group offers, and it was pretty much a no-brainer. I was sitting there running the basic maths going, well, I'm going to have to buy all this stuff anyway, and I'm going to have to employ people to do these things. And EView can do that for me with people I don't have to train. Makes sense to use the experts.
Yeah, just grow your own family in
Absolutely.
A way.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, that's part of our pitch of the new business now is we want to work with the people who are the absolute best in their fields. So we don't do everything in-house. So I have the best video crew and marketing crew. I contract graphic designers to do all of the marketing for each property. We have a PR and marketing specialist on retainer. So she's an independent firm, one of the best at what she does, and my clients get the benefit of their expertise instead of me just trying to be jack of all trades.
A lot of agents such as yourself, they do a fair bit of time in the industry and then make the leap into becoming a director. Mm-hmm. How did you know that it was the right time for you?
I don't think there's ever really a right time. I think it was just a case of I needed a new challenge now. It was time. Like I'd done 10 years in the industry. I've won every possible award and clients were just coming back to me and it was kind of a little bit Groundhog Day, and I guess I needed that new spark and a new challenge. And there's a whole level of excitement that comes with building a new brand, and that whole new energy is just absolutely catapulted us. And also tackling property management industry as well as a whole new field, so it's like becoming a new student again.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. So you've gone from sales agent to director and now you've got full-on property management as well. So how has that journey been for you into PM?
It's actually been really good because we are starting from scratch and we have none of the hang-ups and the old systems and the way things were always done. So my property manager and I are super excited because we can move forward the way that we want to, not the way it's always been done. People are loving it. We're getting great response. In my property manager, the last four managements we've taken over, she's just run an audit for the clients and the least amount of money she's recovered is an extra $1,000 a year for the client. The best is she recovered another $3,600 a year for the client in just little minor things like undercharging or just incorrect monthly statements or a missed bill here and there. It all adds up. And for the owners, it's just been a massive change. And obviously, with my sales background, I'm bringing a lot of what I've learned in the sales side of things into essentially renting a property. Like, we market and rent the property as if it was a sales property. I feel like property management's been the poor cousin in a lot of real estate agencies over the years. So that's something that we wanted to change. So I have a lot of director involvement in the rent roll. And also, I think the property management industry has a lot of great tools and techniques and methods, which I think are exceptionally great for real estate agents as well in the sales side of things. So we've integrated things across both fields and it's helped our business grow. One of the big advantages we've seen in the sales side of things is we no longer do open homes. In property management, people would book into appointments. It was just normal. And that's what we've integrated into our sales side of things. Funnily enough, since we've done that, we're actually getting more people through properties than ever before, whereas when I did open homes, you was kind of standing and hoping and waiting for someone to turn up.
Yeah, it's a different energy, isn't it? It's more proactive than reactive, if you like. I really love what you just said a little while ago about taking an active role in the rent roll. You know, I love property managers. We've got a lot of property managers who are friends of a lead agent. I like the fact that, you know, you've seen investment properties transact. And so I guess you could bring all of that knowledge to the table for your investors who would be thinking about when's the right time to buy and sell another investment property or the same investment property or something like that.
Absolutely. And for me as an agent, it also gives me better market knowledge and market insight because I know what the rents are, what's the demographic of the renters in that area. So when I'm selling a property, it gives me more confidence if the buyer is an investor, I can better answer those questions. Quite often we sell a property and the buyer says, we want to rent the property out. Can you handle that for me? Absolutely. I'm all upskilled in property management, so I can convert the business then and there instead of having to go, I'll send my BDM out and they can talk to you next week. You've lost the moment.
Completely agree. When someone wants to know that you can help them, they want to know that now, don't they? Like, not in a week's time.
Absolutely. And then on the flip side, when we're doing property management appraisals, as a salesperson, we're used to talking about marketing and promotion and getting the right people through the door all the time. Now, renting or selling, you want the right people in your house. That's been a really big crossover for us as well.
It sounds so simple when you talk about it like that too, you know, so.
It's got to be simple. I can't handle complicated.
There's probably a lot of people nodding there, you know, like silently going, yeah, that is really simple. Why didn't I think of that? Let's talk about service because we've just kind of touched on it there. So last year in 2019, when things were relatively normal, you were named the winner of the Areas Excellence in Customer Service Award. And we're catching up with all the winners in this podcast series just to find out what that felt like and get some tips for people who might be entering the areas this year. So can you tell us what did the win mean for you and your agency?
Oh, look, that was a really huge win for us because, I'm with an independent and even now essentially I'm an independent. When I won that award, I wasn't part of a big national franchise. So it was a huge recognition to be recognized on a national scale when typically, like, I was just in a little small pond here on the Sunshine Coast. And what was a real eye-opener was when one of the judges' feedbacks on the main screen was that they never give perfect scores. However, they felt my submission addressed everything and they've never given a perfect score in their life until now. And that was a really huge wrap. And essentially all we've tried to do is just do the right thing and just keep doing the right thing and do a good job for all that time. So it's just nice to get a bit of validation for that.
Absolutely. I was there that night. It was a very exciting night. How did you feel when they called your name out?
I think we did a bit of fist pump and a bit of celebration. I had my team with me as well. My awesome assistant Alana. It was her 30th birthday that weekend as well, so we made a full weekend of it. We celebrated that night, and then we hit the wineries the next day down on the Mornington. We really missed that area, so we'd love to go back down there again. But yeah, it was just a fantastic night with just enjoying it with the team.
When you win an award, like, it's usually pretty good for your marketing. So have you managed to leverage that award into your business, into your marketing in different ways?
Absolutely. So yeah, obviously, as I mentioned, I have a PR and marketing specialist. So I gave her the trophy and said, work your stuff. You've got some material now. And we got a lot of local press and national press off the back of that. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, you don't walk around and carry trophies into the living room with your clients. But look, it certainly helps with your credibility. But I mean, for me, more importantly, it's just doing the right job in the living rooms all the time. And I'd rather be giving out wines than trophies.
Yeah, well, I'd be happy to, you know, follow you on the wine. So I just want to go back briefly. So you said that one of the judges gave you a perfect score in your submission, and I know that they're tough judges, and I was a judge last year, not on your submission, but on a few of the others. What did you do to prepare for the submission, and do you have any tips for people that might be entering the area awards this year?
One of the other comments in that feedback from the judges was that I answered all of the criteria correctly. Like, it sounds basic, but yeah, you just answer the questions that were asked of you. And then we provided really clear examples and demonstrations of what we did differently with the award submission. It was great that I could submit videos and photographs, etc., evidencing my claims. For example, when I have a repeat client night, and I talked about that in my submission. So currently we're sitting at around 93 clients that have done repeat business with me of three or more times. So that's not including just two-time sellers. It's 97 people are at three times repeat clients now. And what we did was we have a client night every 6 months, except for when Corona hits. And we usually open up my wine cellar and have a big fun night where everyone gets together. And we had a video of that night. So showing like a client evening where there's 60, 70 odd repeat clients in a room and they're all giving testimonials in front of the camera. I feel that anyone can get a Rate My Agent review or a Google review, but to actually get a client to stand on camera and say some words about you, that's a whole different kettle of fish.
So the tip is answer the question that was asked, not the question that you want to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Have some evidence, like substantiate with evidence, so client testimonials, videos, that sort of thing. And, yeah, I suppose be as accurate and as succinct as you possibly can.
Absolutely. I don't think my submission was actually that long, but it was very punchy and to the point.
Yeah. You think about, on the other hand, all the judges have got to read like, you know, 20 of them. So
I might draw pictures for you next year.
That's it. If you can get to the point quickly, it's always good. So let's close with a few tips in service. So we've talked at length about how you run these client lunches and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is right at the heart of what you do differently to your competition?
I don't know what is different to my competition, because I think my competition up here is pretty good. Like, as a generality, they all call people back, etc. I think some of the things that we've done is just streamlined a lot of things, and we've just simplified it for people. So we've, for example, when you inquire on a property, we answer straight away. Like, we have technology that can automatically reply and answer all the questions straight away. We have calendar booking systems so that the buyers can just book straight into a property straight away, and it will alert the seller straight away. So it's just all really clear, really streamlined and really simple. And we just try and remove all the barriers. For my sellers, we just try and make it easy. We literally take care of the whole process. If they want me to renovate the place, or my architecture background, I can manage the renovation right through to sale. So yeah, we just try and make it easy. Probably the biggest difference that I feel that we do is that I've seen over the years so much business gets lost between unconditional or exchange, depending on what state you're in, and settlement. And that's usually where things can go wrong. Most agents put the sold sticker up and then that's the end of the relationship. I think that's really where you start the relationship. And for me, I've always found it really beneficial to catch up with buyer and seller a month after the sale, and all the emotion of the move has died down. And it's good to just catch up with people and get to know them on a real level, because you do become quite integrated in their lives for a period of time. So I think it's good to sort of follow up from that. And as a result, I've received a lot of repeat and recurring business that just compounds over the years.
You just mentioned reminders and things like that. So I know, you know, to provide good, consistent service across the board, you need to have really solid systems. Are yours mostly technology-based or are they more paper checklist people-based?
A combination. I mean, we're a very small team, so it's a lot of it's reliant on technology. But I think it's very easy to go overboard on too many technologies. So I think you just got to pick what works for you and run with it. For me, this is really simple, but I just use my calendar. If it's not in my calendar, it doesn't get done. So a calendar you've always got on you and you always see. So, I mean, I know some agents that are fantastic with their CRMs and they have all their scheduled tasks and all that sort of thing. To me, I get lost in that because, well, it's very easy for me to get too many tasks and it just becomes a big sea of phone numbers and names. Whereas appointments, you don't miss. So for me, my technology is just all about appointments and booking appointments.
That's a good tip, actually. Put it in the calendar and not on a to-do list.
Yep.
What about COVID? Did your strategy change during lockdown at all?
Funnily enough, we were actually custom built for COVID. If anything, it was actually almost a bit disappointing that it happened because it forced all my competition to hurry up and catch up to us. Like, and that was part of the reason also for the move, because I could see the changes in the consumer and how it was working. And obviously being in a big agency, to change all that technology and systems is too cumbersome and too expensive. And that was part of the other reason for going out on my own, is to do it my way with this newer technology. So yeah, we were all excited and pumped up that we had all this point of difference. And then COVID came along and just suddenly brought everyone up to the same level as us. And we're like, oh, damn it. But the good thing was that we weren't playing around and figuring it out and learning how to do it. So when COVID happened, we were just business as usual. For us, we had to spend more time just reassuring sellers and buyers that we were business as usual.
Yeah, and things are pretty back to normal on the Sunshine Coast these days, aren't they?
Yeah, it's pretty busy at the moment. We are getting a lot of interstate inquiry at the moment. But yeah, once again, like, I mean, we have videos and 3D walkthroughs and good information packages and lots of relevant information for the buyers. Like, to me, I'm an impatient buyer. Like, I don't even really need to see a property. Like, and if you do, you just need to see it once. When you buy a car, you do all your research online. The only reason why you're turning up to look at the car or to look at the house is just to confirm that it's everything that you've already researched. And that's sort of the attitude that I'm trying to take, is that I want my buyers turning up to a property pre-prepared so that they can buy the property either without having seen it, or they can literally see the property and make a decision then and there. Yes, we like it. I mean, why do they need to call back? Like, I've given them all the information they need before turning up. So that saves me a lot of time in follow-up. It's like, do you like it? Does it suit you? Yes, no. You've got the contract there. If you want to buy it, buy it.
And then I'll manage it for you too.
Yeah. Why complicate it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, speaking of removing barriers and things, I noticed when I was looking at your bio and stuff on your website, I noticed you've got a chatbot.
Yes, we do.
How popular has that been?
Oh, we've had a couple of interesting conversations. We get a transcript from every chat. Usually the opening line is, are you a real person?
Yeah.
They are real people. But that's working well. It just answers people's questions and helps them navigate the site very quickly, because for some people, sometimes it can take a while to find what they're looking for. Like, we've tried to simplify our website so it is easy, but sometimes it's just not obvious for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. So if I'm sitting here, I've got a few service problems or I've had a couple of bad reviews and I'm sitting here listening to Mark McGill talking about customer service, wondering where I should start, what advice would you give me?
Spend time with people. It's as simple as that. Spend time with people, give them the time that they need and help them achieve what they want. It's not about what the agent wants, it's about what they want. So, yeah, really just sit down and get to know them and how you can help address their problems. That's probably the simplest thing. Yeah, I mean, we just try and do the right thing by everyone. It's really simple. I don't really think about it too much, to be honest. So just to give you an example with our property management. So we give tenants a gift on entry to a property. It seems basic. I mean, when someone buys a property, we give them a gift. When they rent a property, we give them a gift. We actually had one tenant. She said that the experience was so good. What's really funny is they actually had three investment properties. And we picked up their investment properties from the fact of servicing those tenants well. They're used to just such terrible experiences, and no one had even stopped to ask them if they owned any property, what their situation was. They were purely renting because they were building a house. So they were renting for 6 months while they built another home, and they were too big for their investment properties. So you just never know what people's situation is until you ask the question. I also look at my own experiences. Like, I've bought and sold many properties now, and the last property I bought, I didn't even get given the keys at settlement. I had to get a locksmith to change the locks to get in. No one called me to tell me settlement had happened. No congratulations, no nothing. But that's not a once-off, because the one before that, once again, I was at dinner. I didn't know settlement had happened until I went to pay for dinner and my credit card bounced because, like, all my funds had gone through. So once again, no call, no congratulations, no gift, no nothing. The property before that, they went to a little bit more effort. They had the keys ready on settlement, which was that was just mind-blowing for me. They had keys ready, but they had branded glasses of their company's agency, full well knowing that I'm a real estate agent with a competitor. Like, why do I need their corporate branded stuff? And then the one before that, I bought the property sight unseen. I asked him for a contract. He said he didn't have one yet. I said, well, I do. Here you go. Take it to the seller. So they took my first offer. Once again, settlement went through. I went to pick up the keys. No one had the keys ready. The receptionist went out and found the keys in their property management department, put them in a recycled envelope with someone else's name written on the front and scribbled out. So that's the extent of my buying experiences. And if that's happening to me, like, I'm sure it's happening to other people. So I don't think we're rock stars. We're not doing anything much better, but, like, I think we're at least doing the basics of calling, congratulating, handing out keys, having something to celebrate the moment and let them have the moment. I've sold a property to a first home buyer the other day and sent her a message going, look, congratulations, the property's unconditional. It's your first property. Do you want to put the sold sticker up or do you want me to put it up for you? She replied going, I was going to ask if it was possible to come out and do it and get a video and like, totally fine. Like, don't rob the buyers of that experience, especially a first time buyer.
Yeah, it's such a special moment for someone who's just bought their first property, for sure.
Oh, I think buying a property is special any time. Like, it's a big deal. So let's make it a big deal.
Yeah, it is amazing just to hear you talk about that. It's just such common sense, really. And I'm sure that, again, a lot of people are nodding going, yeah, I'm going to go and do that.
Well, it's like I said, it's not hard. It's not expensive. It's just a bit of time and bit of care. But the best thing for my business now is that because most of my work is referral and relationship based, I'm not in a queue with four other agents fighting over fees and marketing. I have high trust sellers that basically say, Mark, we need to sell a property. I had one the other day. They're going through a separation. I know I sold the property to them. I know both of them and I'm not taking sides. They just said, look, marriage hasn't worked out. We need to sell. We both agree that you're the person to do it. Just tell us what we need to do to sort this out amicably. And then we just take it from there. There wasn't any competition on fees. We didn't have to chop our marketing budget in half to win the business. And the funny thing is that I've found that most of those clients who just have that high trust factor that let us do our job properly and unhindered, they are always the ones that seem to go above reserve. So that one went 25 above reserve. Not only do they cause less drama for you, but you get better results. And then when you get better results, you get more business off the back of those results. So it's a snowballing effect then.
So what does the next 12 months look like for you and the McGill Group?
Oh, my God. Like, this is probably the first time I've worked a full 12 months in a row because I can't travel. So I'm really, really planning for a trip. I'm long overdue for one. So a bit of time out would be much needed. Probably our goals by Christmas is to have our We've started our property management from scratch. So our goal is to have 50 managements by Christmas. I think that's quite achievable. And then I'm hopeful of having maybe two or three new faces here to help me grow the business as well and just have a bit of a fun family team here.
I'm sure that's something that a lot of agents would love to be a part of. Mark, I'd like to thank you very much for spending some time with us today on all of these things, service and stuff. I'm sure everyone's going to take away a lot from this. And, you know, like if you're thinking about applying for the areas, it's definitely a good thing to do, take on Mark's tips for getting your application in. But I guess if there was one piece of advice or one thing that you would like to leave everyone with, Mark, what would it be?
Have fun with it.
I was going to say, I normally ask people for one piece of advice, but, you know, like it could be real estate or it could be wine. Like, you know, what's the best bottle of wine going on out there for less than $20? That's useful.
Oh, look, it really depends. I drink all sorts of wine, so it really depends on what your taste is. But I think the wine that you enjoy is the best one. For me, most of my wines are memories. They're memories of places I've been to and people that have given them to me. So for me, opening a wine is opening a memory. So that's how I've always done it. I don't drink on my own. Wine's a shared thing for me. So yeah, but I reckon under $20, I don't think you can go past a good Grenache from Barossa Valley. So I think you can get Kolesky's, Clary's GSM for around that $20 mark. Absolute cracker wine. I've not had a bad review on that. Even non-red wine drinkers like that one.
All right. Well, it is Friday, so I'm on my way down to the bottle shop.
Yep. I actually regularly get clients send me photos of wine lists in a restaurant, or they send me photos of bottles at a bottle shop and ask for my recommendation. So that is a service I do offer to my clients.
and a valuable one at that too.
Yeah, yeah. As a general rule, I generally don't order wines that have got animals on the labels.
Yeah, okay. That's a good rule. I'm going to try that one too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mark McGill, thank you so much.
No problems. Thanks for that.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Elevate from Elite Agent. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links and shortcuts, visit eliteagentelevate.com.